Each of you have an outline in your bulletin, so I encourage you to follow along and fill in some of the blanks that are there. And it's one of those techniques that one is sometimes used to keep children on track, and sometimes we have an ability to lose track as well. Children provide wonderful opportunities for parents to be teachers. Whether teaching a new word, proper behavior, or how to tie their shoes, you wonder whether or not what you're trying to teach them will ever sink in. Sometimes they're so teachable and they just soak up new things like sponges. And other times they're preoccupied with toys, video games, and their own fantasy world. Like adults, we're very much like children in many ways. We often listen poorly, whether we have a hearing aid or not. We're easily distracted and can head off in many different tangents. We love to initiate new things and aren't always good at finishing them. Pictures, object lessons, hands-on experiences are all part of the normal process of teaching in junior church, in our church. Robert usually comes up and gives an object lesson to the children and tries to teach a biblical truth, hook it to an object lesson so that they will be able to remember it better. Jesus chose to speak to the multitudes by using parables. Parables were cloaked in the settings of everyday life. They were often spontaneous, unrehearsed, and often very visual. Usually a parable is a one-point sermon with one major idea, unlike allegories where we look at an allegory and we try to figure the spiritual idea that relates to every detail of the allegory. Jesus used parables to capture people's attention. He used parables to present truth and reality in fresh and new ways. And he used parables to provide the secrets of the kingdom to those who were spiritually tuned in. Verse 12 of chapter 13 says that Jesus loves to give more spiritual truth to those who are hungering and thirsting for it. This story of the parable of the sower or of the parable of the four soils is a visual picture. We have a context to it. Jesus was sitting in a boat. I picture the boats facing out toward the Sea of Galilee, and I picture him at the back of the boat, sitting, looking at people on the shore. Hopefully there was a little bit of a breeze blowing. Hopefully it was a beautiful sunny day. And possibly, right in the middle of his teaching of the multitudes, he sees a farmer heading up to sow a field. Now, this farmer farms in a very different way than farmers do in Canada. He had a seed bag. There were no fences around the fields. It was just a little field next to a hamlet where people lived. One of those little fields where little paths crisscrossed back and forth across the field depending on where people wanted to go. A little bit like university campuses. They have walkways, but the students always take the shortcuts. And somehow the university never figures out that the walkways need to go exactly where the shortest cut is from one building to the next. He sows the seed a little bit like I spread fertilizer with my fertilizer spreader. It gets all over the sidewalks, the driveway, the flower beds, but primarily on the lawn. The sower primarily hits the fertile soil. There are no manicured, fenced-in fields, no tractors or harrows or cedars. Yes, the picture is Eastern and ancient, not Western and modern. We have the visual picture now. What was Jesus' desired impact on those that he spoke to? What was he hoping that they would say? Possibly it was, wow, what a great harvest. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. That's tremendous. Or he might have been looking for them to say, as they looked inside, what kind of soil am I? Am I good soil? This parable may be the most important of all the parables in Scripture. It's one of only two that are recorded in all three of the Synoptic Gospels. It's one of only two that were explained by Jesus. And in Mark chapter 4:13, the parallel passage, one of the parallel passages, Jesus said it's the key to understanding all the parables. What is the main point of the parable? The word of God sown will have mixed results due to the receptivity of the soil. So I want to share with you for a few moments some keys to successful harvesting. And we'll try to do it reasonably quickly. The first is to sow generously. The sower knew when he sowed the seed, when he sowed it and it went on the path and near the weeds and by the shale and the limestone parts of the field, he knew that he wasn't going to get results from every seed that was sown, but he chose to sow that seed generously where he was. Jesus loved to sow the seed of the Word of God generously and to share it with whoever would listen. He loved to talk to the multitudes. And he did that until he went to heaven, and then he sent his Holy Spirit, who came to illuminate and reveal the Word of God to all who are willing to listen and respond. Now, God has raised up organizations and churches that love to sow the Word of God. We have Bible societies. We have Wycliffe translators. We have Gideons. Some of these organizations' primary purpose is the translation of the Word of God and the distribution of it in our world today. As a church, we're called on to sow seed as well. Now, personally, it's important that we as individuals are reading the Bible too. Do you read it daily? Do you read it in some type of a systematic way? Are you receptive to the Word as it's planted in your heart? Pastor David and I had an interesting experience when we were in Korea in 1993. On one of the days, they took us to a pastor's conference up in the hills. And these pastors were gathering together from the Baptist churches in Korea for 4 days. And we said, well, what will they do for 4 days? Well, they'll do some praying and some worship, but most of the 4 days, they would listen as the Word of God was read. And the goal of the conference was to, in 4 days, have the whole of the Bible read. And so they'd have people read from Genesis right through to Revelation. They believed that somehow by soaking up the Word of God, that the Spirit of God would give them great insight and great strength as pastors. That's probably not part of our culture, Western-wise, to do that. But certainly within the Korean culture, that might be one of the keys to why they grow. Secondly, assess spiritual receptivity of the soil. Clearly, there will be different responses to the seed sown. The farmer doesn't decide to divide his seed bag into four compartments and throw seed equally on the four kinds of soil. In researching the parable, it's kind of interesting to find that in the Greek, the first three types of soil, the seed is singular in terms of its being spread. But when it's spread on the fertile ground, it's plural. I think what was trying to be said by that was that the primary amount of the seed was sown on fertile ground. That's encouraging, that there's fertile ground for the Word of God to be sown on today. Look for receptive soil and primarily sow the seed there. Now, God does call some. He gives them at times the apostolic or missionary gift to go and to cultivate the hard places in the world, the pathways that are trodden down. I can't help but think of a missionary couple that we know that are pastoring in Turkey. Turkey has one of the lowest percentage of Christians in the world for a country. They always design, for those that are on their prayer list, a little prayer calendar or a prayer bookmark. And on it they have a thing, and I don't know where they got it. They got it from some mission organization called the Engel Scale. And it goes from -6 to +6 on the scale. And they will give you the names of people that they're working with and praying for and involved with, and they will put them anywhere from -6 to 6. -6 means that they're not responding at all to anything that's happening of a spiritual nature in their life. They're not open yet to the Word of God being sown in their life. They're in that hard place. And then they talk about how they move down from the -6 to the -5 to the -4. And when they get to 0, that's the place in which they receive Christ as their personal Savior. But it's interesting on that scale, that's not the end of the scale. Because the goal is to get the Word of God in their lives so that it's rooted. And so they become disciples and then they become disciple makers. And so this missionary couple encourage us to pray for people in the different aspects of where they're at in their faith experience and their faith journey. And their goal is always to bring them from the negative to the positive. It's not easy to sow in hard places. I remember one summer I spent a summer north of Calgary at a farm. And one of the functions that one of the farmers on the farm had was the development of land that was virgin land and pasture land to making it the kind of land that was ready to be able to receive a crop. And I remember him coming in one day saying, "Oh, I didn't realize there were still so many rocks in those 25 acres. We still have so much more work to do to get the land ready." Thirdly, maximize productivity. Do you know anyone who, like in verse 15, has a heart that is calloused and ears closed to the Word of God? Every time you try to sow the seed in their life, it somehow gets snatched away. It doesn't seem to have any impact. The evil one comes and snatches it away. And we can become very easily discouraged. To be able to increase our effectiveness as we sow the seed, we must do a number of things. We must know the enemy's tactics. We must know the ways and the kinds of things he will do to be able to cause the Word of God sown not to have impact on people. Yes, he snatches it away. He scorches the seed. He prevents root growth. He likes to choke the word with other things. His goal is to decrease in any way possible the harvest at the end. That's Satan's goal. Decrease or eliminate the harvest. Sometimes in terms of growing crops, we have all kinds of obstacles to overcome too. Things like heat waves with no rain. Things like pests and diseases. In the lives of people, often it's hurts and pains. Sometimes it's busyness and the cares of this world that are used as powerful tools to distract us from growing deep in the Lord Jesus, putting those roots down. If you're going to grow a vegetable garden and you come to Mark and Missionary Church and you don't know how to do it, you probably could go to Don Jennings or to Marg Amos or to others, and they would give you some insight into how to plant your garden. Somehow my wife refuses to plant our vegetable garden until I have dug it up again each year. Somehow she thinks hard soil isn't very receptive to new seed. But in that preparation, you sometimes add triple mix or other kinds augment the soil. In the actual planting, you often have water with you and fertilizer. You put it in the hole first before you put the seed in. So you try to maximize productivity and the potential of growth in many different ways. Why all the hard work? Why not just, scatter the seed on the top of the soil? Because you know that you need to overcome some of the obstacles and provide the maximum opportunity for productivity. The goal is an abundant harvest. The Apostle Paul challenges us in his letters to use every available and appropriate means to maximize productivity. One of the ways that we use here at Markham is videotapes of the service. And I find when I go on Monday or Tuesday to find a tape of the service to take to somebody, they're always gone. So that means that you take 10 videotapes every week, some of you, to give to other people. And I hear of some that say, well, I take one, but I give it to this person, they get it Monday, and the other person gets it Tuesday, and so on, and so it gets passed on, a way of sowing the seed. Some were involved in the Gideon Bible Blitz in all of Toronto a few weeks ago, getting the word out into the schools, into the hotels, into the hospitals. DVBS is coming, a way of sowing the word of God into the lives of children. Awana, the tailgate party, radio and television and internets and relief and development and intercession teams and all kinds of ways that we use to sow the seeds. Psalm 1 says that we are to be planted by rivers of living water so that our roots will go down deep. We'll be able to overcome the enemy's tactics. We'll be able to stand the storms of time, the drought periods, the difficult times, so that we'll be effective in producing a harvest. Number 4, persevere. Growth is certain. I think sometimes we don't persevere because we don't think that growth is certain. But this parable is saying to us that there will be results when the Word of God is sown in the hearts of people. That's what this parable is saying. It's a very encouraging parable. Yes, we can look at the 3 types of soil and say, oh yeah, but none of those are productive. But the story of this parable is that there is a harvest, and we can be part of that harvest. So the Great Commission mandates us to go on to make disciples of all nations. We are called to be disciple makers. The goal is to produce fruit, effective Christians who are used by Jesus to multiply the harvest. I was excited when Paul was sharing some of those points on the PowerPoint and pictures and showing this person is reasonably new in their faith, but they're going to teach and to learn and be involved in leadership development in the summer, the development of disciples. In the university setting, you often just have students for 4 years. And so you go from those that just come into the university to having to make sure that there's leaders to be able to lead that group before they leave after 4 years. And so that aspect of leadership development becomes so very important. Notice that the first three soil conditions all led to a lack of fruitfulness. No harvest. I believe that those conditions can be changed with much work and prayer in the lives of people. If you look back in your life, before you received the Word of God, were you like one of those soils? Some of you probably were. And yet people persevered and prayed and kept sowing the seed until it took root. We as a church need to be encouraging and discipling people. We need to be asking the Spirit of God to open the eyes of people to spiritual truth. We realize that the enemy's goal is to keep our eyes closed to spiritual truth. We need to be seeking to equip people, as Ephesians 4:11 says, to do the work of God in the kingdom. We're to seek first the kingdom of God and therefore change our priorities and not let the cares of this world or the wealth of this world or the desire of it to choke away our spiritual fiber and rootedness so that we can be effective and grow. The opportunities and resources for spiritual growth are almost unlimited in Canada compared to some other places in the world. You have so many opportunities and resources and books and other kinds of things, internet and just all kinds of resources to help us to grow in our faith. Each of us need to apply this parable in two ways. First of all, we need to apply the parable personally. Which soil condition best represents my life today? That will involve some soul searching on our part. Do we see ourselves as growing and putting our roots down? Are we finding that there's a lot of obstacles in our life that need to be overcome? I believe that God is able to overcome obstacles in our lives by His grace so that we can be more fruitful as Christians. Secondly, as a church, we represent all soil types. How do we intentionally cultivate, equip, and augment the soil for greater growth in the area of Markham? Are we developing disciple makers? I'd ask you to pray for the elders and the pastoral team as we seek God for greater fruitfulness as a church in our community of Markham. I want to close in a little different way today. I'm going to be giving you an invitation to respond. I'm going to give four different aspects of response. And then at the end, I'm going to ask all of you to stand for a closing prayer. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I believe that this morning, as we've gathered together here as a church, that there are people that are living in all four different soil conditions. That the Holy Spirit may have been speaking to you and putting His finger on something in our life that He wants us to respond to today. And so I'm going to share four different things. And if you sense that this is something that God is talking to you about this morning, then I'd ask you to stand. And after I mention these four things and different ones stand, we're going to ask everybody to stand for a closing prayer. The first one is the Holy Spirit been talking to you about your need to be in the Word of God regularly? Because at present, the rate of reading the Word of God is starvation rations. And you really need to be getting into the Word of God. If the Spirit has been speaking to you about that, would you stand? Secondly, the cares of this world have been sapping you of your spiritual energy, and you need to seek first the kingdom of God. If that's the area that the Spirit of God has been speaking to you about, would you please stand? The cares of this world have been sapping my spiritual energy. Thirdly, you need to go deeper. Put down your roots to be able to withstand the storms of life and become fruitful in your life. And the Spirit of God has been saying, you need to put your roots down deeper into me and allow me to make you fruitful in your life. Is there anybody that the Spirit of God was speaking to about this? Would you please stand? Lastly, the Holy Spirit's been saying to you, you've not been very intentional or strategic in sowing the seed at work or at home or in my community. And the Lord's been saying to you, you need to become more strategic in doing this. Is there anybody that the Spirit's been talking to in this way this morning? Please stand. Thank you for those of you who've responded by standing to what the Spirit of God has been speaking to you about. I'd ask all of us to stand now as we close together in prayer. Father, I thank you for the many that you've been speaking to in a personal way today about their relationship with you and their relationship in terms of sowing seed. I realize, Father, that the seed of the Word of God has to be sown, first of all, in our hearts. And those roots have to go down before we're able to be effective and fruitful in sowing the seed elsewhere. But I thank you, Father, for the way your Spirit has been speaking to many in the congregation this morning about their personal need to go deeper, their personal need to not allow Satan to impact their lives by the concerns and the other things that are going on and the need to focus on seeking first the kingdom of God and allowing you to meet the needs in other areas of their lives. Father, we've gathered together at your table today. We love you. You are the Lamb of God who's taken away the sin of the world. And I pray, Father, that as we continue in this series on ministry and reaching our community of Markham, that you will make us more effective, that you will use each of us, causing us to grow first personally and then to be able to grow in our ability to reach out to our community. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are not having a closing hymn, so you are dismissed at this time.